This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's trending?
What's trending on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The NCAA tournament got underway last night. The 11-seed North Carolina Tar Heels absolutely destroyed 11-seed San Diego State, 95-68. The Tar Heels now get set to take on Ole Miss tomorrow in NCAA first-round action. We'll talk more about that win last night a little bit later on this hour. Plus, earlier in the night was the better game. It turned out to be an awesome finish, an awesome game. St. Francis, Pennsylvania, the 16-seed against the 16-seed Alabama State. Alabama State scored inside of a second to go in the game on a full court pass. It was pretty awesome to see the reaction. They will now take on Auburn tomorrow as well. Tonight, got a couple games. The 11-seed matchup in Dayton, Ohio is Xavier and Texas. The 16 seeds are Mount St. Mary's and American University.
Next up on Watch Trending, the Vikings are reportedly not actively seeking out Aaron Rodgers at the moment, but according to Diana Rossini, will not rule it out either. Essentially, what the reporting is that they're keeping their ears to the ground on what the Aaron Rodgers situation is looking like, but that they want to see how things are going for their guy, J.J. McCarthy, first. There are reports that Aaron Rodgers is in an absolutely zero hurry himself in order to find a landing spot. We still think that if the Steelers are in on that game, that they should 100% force his hand and make him make a decision. But as we will know with Aaron Rodgers, probably wouldn't work. You can give him a deadline. Yeah. I don't actually think he'd do anything about it.
Yeah, he goes with his own beat of the drum, right?
Yeah.
Next up on What's Trending, Indiana has hired their new men's basketball coach. How about West Virginia's Darren DeVries? He is now the next head coach there after 1 year at West Virginia. So West Virginia thought they finally found their long-term option post Bob Huggins. Unfortunately, he's now the next head coach in Indiana. A lot of people thought he could have taken the Iowa job.
Now
that's the rumor, is that Drake's head coach, depending on how long the tournament goes, that Iowa could go in that direction. So you could have Drake having their third head coach in the last like 5 years, because they've been evaluating head coach hires so well. Nico Medved or whatever was at Colorado State now, who's now going to, Medved is going to get the Minnesota job after leaving Drake. We just mentioned goes from Drake to West Virginia, now Indiana. Like, it's pretty crazy.
I'll just be honest,
what they've been able to do.
If Kansas's AD quit tomorrow, I'd just go hire, like, stop stealing their coaches. Steal the guy who is better at finding coaches than anybody else.
Yeah.
I would just go swipe
program,
that guy.
Wrong program example. I hear you. Kansas wouldn't need to do that, but somebody else would, because it's, you know, Kansas, you're going to be able to find the top candidate easily. Like, it's If I was a lower level Power 5 school, I would be looking at Drake's athletic
director. Like, if I'm West Virginia, I'd be like, I'm sick of losing, guys. Drake, you find our next head coach.
Promise I keep.
Because that guy.
Still going to leave them after 1 year. His one and done thing. Like, how frustrating is that if you're Drake, if you're West Virginia? You're like, what the hell? We finally found a coach and he's gone. That's life, I guess, at most schools, but still.
But Drake, you're like, we plucked you from D2. You're ditching us.
Quarterback, you. Wide receiver, you. Head coach, you.
Head coach, you.
Apparently. Who knew, man? Next up on What's Trending, the Green Bay Packers have officially filed to get a rule change in place for the NFL to ban the tush push.
Okay.
The wording was pretty simple. No player immediately after the snap can thrust themselves behind a player. It's all this nonsense, right? Outside of it. They're trying to get the tush push banned. We didn't mean it'll actually get approved. You and I both know this works. You submit the rule change because you're interested in it. Then you wait to find out if you get the votes. If you don't get the votes, no one ever votes on it. If you think you got the votes to get it passed, we find out. If they ever vote on it, we just assume it's going to pass.
Yeah,
I think the rest of the NFL might be tired of it. I think they might actually get the votes on this one.
It might actually, but you're right. They don't take it to a vote unless they have the votes. It's kind of like how bills in Congress and stuff happen. A lot of times they don't take it to a vote unless they think they have the votes to make it happen. Same kind of concept. And thinking of the Packers, Mecole Hardman, former Chiefs wide receiver, has signed a one-year deal to join with the Green Bay Packers.
So for Super Bowl winning touchdown, man.
For now, he is not a member of the Chiefs, although time he was on a different team midseason, he got traded back to Kansas City, so you never know.
Over under, this is like you mentioned, let's do a calendar for when Jack Caglione gets called up. Mm-hmm. November 15th, that's the over under for when Mecole Hardman is a Chief again somehow.
I don't think it happened. The Jets one was because the Jets were a joke and a mess. The Packers are well run at least, so I think he'll stay on there.
Over 0.5 times that he is a Chief again. Mecole Hardman.
Ooh.
At any point in his career.
Oh.
There you go.
How about
that number, huh?
How old is Mecole? Hold on. Any point in his career, mm-hmm. He's 27. He just turned 27. I'll say he's never on the team again.
Okay, never on the team again. You're going to take the under.
Other than, you're never on the team again.
Don't forget, Wednesdays are brought to you by our friends over at Jefferson's. The lunch hour brought to you by our friends at Jefferson's, both in Lenexa and in North Kansas City. Your bar for both locations and a great place to go watch some college basketball as you get ready for tournament play coming up. Monday is all day happy hour. Same great deals in the reverse happy hour 7 days a week. So if you're looking to watch any of these next games of this with family or friends, Lenexa or North Kansas City is the place to be. A restaurant that is proudly local. Our guy, Nick, has actually offered up free Jefferson wings for a year for the winner of our bracket contest here on Cody and Gold. So get a chance to check out Jefferson's Wings, Burgers, Oysters. Have a great time out there.
If you want to join our bracket challenge, just text in 913-586-7965. Drew will try to send you a link. We've had some issues with the link, but we'll work on that. Also, you can hit him up on Twitter. That's the preferred method if you have Twitter or X, at Drew B, the letter B, Knicks.
Do you think those links I sent out for Desmond's major saver cards, you think that they had the same issue?
You should be on the track. Did they work?
Well, only I sent the link to the 7 or 8 people who requested, but only 2 people have purchased. So it's hard to say.
Oh.
So either they didn't get the link or they're like, I'll do that later. Or I didn't mean it, which is also fine. They don't know it, but I'm just saying, like, maybe
you can't come back with
link.
I didn't mean it. That's just not
right. You can't
right.
ask for the link and then not help the kid out. Yeah. I agree. You know, that's cold. Yeah. Some people just probably do it later. It's not like he has like 10 days to sell 15 cards and then he'll get to go on the limo. I asked him, I didn't even give a dating. So I asked him yesterday, I said, hey, is she going to try to be on the limo? And he's like, I think so. But then he also told me, and I don't even know at what point I got to get the teacher involved. He also told me, he said, hey, I again told her no kisses, but she kissed me on the cheek again yesterday.
Every day.
But they're not getting busted anymore. We're not getting calls from the teachers because they figured out a way to get away with it.
Where are they going?
I don't know. It's a single room classroom. So, and the teachers already told us that they don't sit at the same table when they like line
they're
up.
They're in
to
kindergarten.
Go,
how many places can they go?
When they line up to go to lunch, they don't line up. They don't line. I think what's happening is I think this girl is waiting until the teacher is helping another student, sneaking the kiss on the cheek. Try to do it on the sly,
man,
and then moving on with her. I think that's what's
could it be
place.
When, like, at the end of
he
the day,
he says he keeps telling her, "Hey, man, we can't do this," but that's not stopping her. And so I don't know, man. The streak continues. Anyway, if there's any other updates, I'll let you know. I have not yet confirmed whether or not she is also trying to sell 15 major saver cards in order to get on the limo ride. I do think that'd be a nice moment for him that the two of them could be like going to prom, you know. Limo ride together? Have you ever? You've been in a limo. We were in one in August. I was going to ask you to go to a dance.
Yeah, I was going to say that. prior to our trips out to Circa in Vegas, the last time would have been like homecoming or prom or something like that. But yeah, when we've been fortunate, we've gone out to Vegas the last couple of times, we've had a limo ride thanks to our nice friends over at Circa.
Yeah. I've been picked up in just the like regular like Lincoln or whatever, you know.
The weirdest one was the last trip. You had already left with your wife the day before, I think.
Yeah.
In October, I stayed for the game, and the next day, they were picking up a big group at the airport, and so they already were driving the big stretch limo to the airport. So they're like, "Do you want to just go in this?" I'm like, "Sure." So I was just by. I was just by myself in this massive stretch limo. I'll be honest, it was not nearly as fun without anybody in there. It was weird. I mean, this is a massive limo. They're like, "You can still have a drink or whatever." And there was this huge group that was about to get in the limo once they dropped me off at the airport. But that was a bizarre like 25-minute ride to the airport.
Yeah, just ride. You.
It was just
an
me
entire
in a large limo. It was.
Did you have a drink?
Of course, but okay. It was still a weird feeling.
Okay.
Anyway, let's talk some Royals baseball, shall we? Opening day, a week from tomorrow at a Kauffman Stadium. Vern's Roundtable for 96.5 The Fan, going to be at a Hollywood Casino a week from Friday. It starts at 6 o'clock. We'll have Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell, plus maybe one other guest joining him for a Q&A, and then a meet and greet afterwards, plus the entire 96.5 The Fan staff will all be out there hanging out. It'll be Sweet 16 night as well, so we could be watching some hoops, or we'll be right by the sports book, so maybe you'll put in some bets as well. But the Royals, expectation-wise, offensively, there's multiple areas where it's easy to see where they could improve, right? For
walks
starters, walks.
One.
They were 28th in baseball in walks a year ago. I think this is the single stat metric that they can improve almost 28th. Like instantly with one acquisition they made. And that's Jonathan India, right?
Who was fifth in baseball in walks last year.
Yeah, when you bring in a guy to lead off that was fifth in all of baseball for walks, you can go from 28th and climb right to 15th easily. I mean, honestly, pretty easily when you're talking about bringing in somebody like that at the leadoff spot. So for starters, I think that's where the greatest improvement is going to be. I struggle to actually see necessarily where the batting average just 100% goes up from being 10th in baseball. Because, yes, India will help that as well, and it should set the table for everybody else. Could help you in some other areas as run scored. But let's say Salvador Perez, who's coming off his best year in 3 years. He was a Silver Slugger Award winner. I believe he hit 271 or 277, something like that.
Yeah.
Let's say it's even down like 7 or 8 points. Doesn't mean he's having a bad year, but let's say it's down 7 or 8 points. Who else is out there that's going to make up for that offense? The hope is, of course, MJ Melendez, new swing. The hope is Hunter Renfro just has a better season. I know the names we can mention.
Do you think they'll be better, a better offense? Like, let's just ask ourselves that question.
I don't believe batting average-wise. They were 10th in all baseball. I don't think they're going to be a top 10 batting average offense in baseball.
When you average it all out, I think, and I guess I'm curious if you guys agree, I thought they were around a perfectly league average offense last year, like the 15th best offense. The real question is, with the addition of India, and with the hypothetical improvement of a player or two, or hell, even 150 games of Vinny instead of 110 or 20, do we think, because if they had, obviously their offense would have probably ranked better in runs had Vinny played. They went ice cold offensively for two straight weeks after Vinny got hurt. So, like, I think that their goal this year should be a top 10 offense. Top 10 in runs, top 10 in batting average, top 15 I'll take in walks, top 10 in strikeouts, and top 15 in home runs. But like overall, when you look at the Royals, because home runs are always going to be harder.
Say, where do you think the extra home runs come from, though? I mean, you're playing at Kauffman Stadium still. You're 21st in home runs.
Bobby and Bobby alone is the answer. I still think he's got a 45 home run season in him.
Yeah, Vinny's where I would go.
Vinny's got a little uptick in him. And if just even one of the many players we're talking about stays on the field more, Massey, MJ, if one of those guys completes this, like, transformation project, stay on the field more, they're capable of hitting more home runs too. I don't think, look, maybe 15th is a little high. I'd have to see what the difference was between 21st and 15. My guess is it's only 15 home runs, and maybe they could just make that up with Bobby Witt Jr., a guy who I think could still have a massive home run year.
Yeah, I mean, Vinny, we discussed him individually a week ago, and, you know, can he make the climb and be a 30 home run hitter? Like, right, that right there would help in a big, big way when it comes to home runs per team. Here was the numbers, assuming these are accurate, looks like. Was this 2024? I believe this is still correct. The Yankees had 237 for the best in baseball. Orioles, 235.
I didn't need them to get there.
This says the Royals were lower than the number we mentioned. What did you say the Royals, 21st?
21st is what I thought when we were looking at before the show.
Okay, I think that's right. So they were, to get to 15th, the Royals were 21st at 170. To get to 15th, nine more home runs.
Yeah. And which, I think
I know that sounds easy. It's tougher than that.
No, but that's what I think you're ex. And I think and you're like, where do you get him? Bobby alone, almost, you know, or Vinny to add
five more for each.
It's not even that's why I'm saying, like, I'm not crazy. I don't look at their offense and I understand the issues. This all comes back to how deep do we actually think their lineup is? India, Vinny, Bobby, Salvi. And then we start having questions. Then we're like,
big time.
Then we're like, but I actually think considering like where they are, because again, they had a 40-year-old on the street free agent hitting cleanup for them late in the season.
Well, that
year.
Was, of course, that was not a majority of the season. That was like 10% of the season,
no,
5%
but like,
of the season.
But like that just speaks to like the middle of the order bats that exist outside of that. But it's like, maybe they don't have a true five or six hitter, but they got a lot of guys who'd be a really solid seven. So can you make up the difference of, fine, it's a week five, it's a week six, but like you're seven still better than most people's seven hitter. And you kind of go there. I like their lineup till about six deep where I'm like, I don't hate five and six, right? I don't even hate it to seven. When you start running into Michael Garcia hitting last, or where does Renfro go, who's going to hit fifth this year, probably most likely.
And I actually think there's a chance and I think there's some energy has a better there. Year than people think. I feel like, especially everybody wanting CAGs and everything, I actually think Renfro is going to have a nice season in his final year of his deal with the Royals. But this whole conversation about the offense, why it's so critical, is if we think the pitching staff is going to have a little bit of regression in the mean, doesn't mean they're going to be awful by any means, but whether it's injury related, whether it's just Seth Lugo coming back to the pack just a little bit. All right, how do you make up for that? Maybe you just believe the bullpen is going to be dominant. And so, hey, that makes up a lot of it on its own right. But the offense is the obvious area. If you're the same offense last year and your starting rotation's slightly less impressive, well, then your bullpen better be really, really dominant if your offense is not improving. So that's why it's crucial. But I do think we found there's a couple areas that walks very easily, which should lead to more runs. Right away is the area where I think we're almost confident that they improve, assuming Jonathan India is healthy all year. Plays 150 games. If he can get to that mark, then the walks, he's going to probably be top five, top seven in baseball in walks again. Well, you're not going to be 28th in walks if you have a player that's top five in baseball. You're going to be on the top half of the league.
No, he's going to increase the number of walks out of that position last year by 50. 5-0 walks, most likely. Not even like we talked about, where do you get 8 home runs? They could get 50 walks that they did not get last year out of India versus anyone else who was playing that position. He walked the fifth most in baseball. That also should help all the other numbers, though. Like runs. You can only score runs if someone's on base. He gets on base more than the other people in there.
The Royals, what was it? I believe this is accurate. Yeah, 2.63 walks per game is where they were at. The Dodgers, hold on, is this the right order? Give me 1 second. Yankees had 4.25, it looks like. Dodgers 3.8.
Most in baseball, which is not surprising based on the year he had.
So you can that's the get, you know, to get towards
Judge
the top.
Judge and Soto.
Yeah. Not this year though, which is why Aaron Judge, with the issues with Stanton's injury as well, MVP case, I don't think will be as strong this year for Judge. He's still gonna be in the convo.
Also, I guess the Dodgers are going 162-0.
That's right, they haven't lost yet. Did they win? What was the final score?
I don't remember the final score. Did you see all obviously television broadcasts vary depending on the country. Do you see they just used all the Japanese baseball preset television angles and stuff. Did you see some of the stuff they were doing for the broadcast on it?
It
was, one, obviously they got their magical moment. Shohei Ohtani
hits the home run,
hit a homer. Right. So like everyone did it. And then it almost looks like a video game the way they do some of the broadcast television on it. This is one of the cameras. I'll show it to you. This is one of the cameras that they put on for the baseball broadcast. This is the real game.
And it's live just or just replay?
This is a replay, right? This is a replay camera.
They've done that angle for it. Just the high quality, the frame rate, everything makes it look like a video game. Yeah,
it just looks kind of crazy.
That's just the replay. Okay, not the
live angle. They've got some different live angles too.
Basically, baseball in the United States has that same camera 360 replay thing. It's just, it's not as high quality as that. That's pretty cool.
And I don't think it's like everywhere all the time or is ingrained with it. But yeah, they got their moments. But yeah, I don't know. It's just the Dodgers are, it's not fair. Their team's not fair. I think what would really bum me out.
They're in the NL. It's not a problem.
Like, how much would it bum me out? The Royals make it all the way back to the World Series, and then they got to face the Dodgers, and you're just like, this is stupid.
I wouldn't be bummed. The world would be back in the World Series. I wouldn't be bummed at all. But they're back in the World Series. That'd be incredible for this team.
It'd be like the only team I wouldn't want them to face. Like, not the Dodgers. They can't lose.
In fairness, though, you would have Everybody but the city of LA on your side. Everybody would be cheering for the Royals, which would be pretty crazy.
When you, especially in baseball, but especially in a market like Kansas City, you don't worry about who you're playing in the World Series. Are you kidding? Cody, in our lifetime, they've been there twice.
Three times in my lifetime.
Well, 91
I got,
here.
I got 85. I was a baby.
How old when were you born?
One.
Oh, I was you're, one. Okay. Years. Twice that you can remember, okay? Yeah. Twice that you can remember. Since Drew's been alive twice as well, you know? So, yeah, you would obviously take a World Series appearance. Doesn't matter how you get there, who you have to face.
I would just be sad.
Or like, anything like that.
I would just be like annoyed. Not sad. Yeah. Annoyed that it was the Dodgers.
Last night, tournament action, first four, North Carolina, San Diego State, it was over 7 minutes in. I mean, it was just a complete dominating effort by North Carolina. And I told you I'm kind of sick of the whining about, like, North Carolina shouldn't have been in, should have been in. Look, to their credit, they, as a team, heard the noise and they kind of gave a middle finger to everybody out there. Like, I can respect that impressive performance. I'm not saying that it means, see, West Virginia, you're wrong for being upset. It's just that, hey, if you're going to be in the tournament, you might as well be impressive. And North Carolina was impressive last night, and it probably felt pretty darn good for them. Every shot was falling too. They shot 70% from the field. San Diego State had no chance 5 minutes into that thing.
That game was over so fast. They had one shot there for a second, Gold, where it was like, you know what? They like scored, and then the broadcasters, to their credit, was like, I don't think that San Diego State wants to play at this pace. That feels like it favors North Carolina. North Carolina proceeds to hit like every three imaginable, and they are immediately down and out. My whole thing is like, I am kind of with you. Like, I'm really happy for the coach and the player. Everyone for the last like 3 days has just been like, being like, look at these losers. They got no business being in this tournament. They should kick them out. They don't deserve it, et cetera, right? Like, they go through this whole thing about essentially just burying this squad for even having a point or even deserving to be there. So for them, I'm happy. They still don't deserve to be there. They could have beat them by, it could have been that score UMKC beat that private Catholic school by, which was like, by 100
or the Cavaliers.
Whatever. Yeah. It could have been that score, and they still don't deserve to be.
Was it Calvary Christian College or something?
Yeah. The important thing to remember is not, is this team better? The important thing to remember is, does this team deserve to be in? And the answer is they didn't deserve to be in. I always argue this for the college football playoff, too, and this goes back to the original point, Cole, we were talking about, which is, I think wins should matter in college basketball more than they do, and sometimes they don't. Or in college football, I think they should matter more than they do, and sometimes they don't. And that's, you know, that's the nature of the sport. But I don't know. It was at least cool. Like, can we admit that there's no better way to start the tournament than this?
Seconds left, and here we go. This is where dreams are made.
They're going for it all.
Simpson home run play, the deflection.
Oh!
A layup! 0.7 seconds left. Alabama State.
True TV last night, epic finish. Epic finish, and they of course now advance. Alabama State does to take on Auburn, and that showcase for them is pretty special. I know there's been some noise about, hey, should you have to play in these first four games if you won your conference championship, like the 16 seed? Should it just be full of the bubble teams? And I think that would be intriguing. But last night, what you have the standalone national game if you're Alabama State, if you're St. Francis, Pennsylvania. Like,
and you get a buzzer beater.
If you're going to only play this, the one seed, in most cases, you're going to lose by 25-plus points and nobody's watching that game because there's other games on. Here, you got the entire stage to yourself if you're Alabama State to win last night. So I think that's why you actually are just fine playing in the first four. Tonight, we get another 11 seed play, first four game with some bubble teams, Xavier and Texas. The early game is American and Mount St. Mary's. Hopefully they can provide some drama as well. My guess is Xavier and Texas is much more competitive.
Take a guess at what American's team name is.
What do you mean American's team?
Like their mascot or bald their
nickname?
Eagles.
Nickname?
The American who?
If it's not the Bald Eagles, it's either a huge missed opportunity.
It's either Patriots or Eagles, right? It just has to be, doesn't it?
It is Eagles.
Okay. Yeah. Specifically, it should be Bald Eagles. I want to make that very clear. But
I do think it'll be someone texted this in too, and it's like, now you wonder, is there the overreaction? How good North Carolina looked. A lot of people are picking them to just beat Ole Miss just like that, whereas 24 hours ago everybody thought they sucked. Yes. So it's just funny how quickly how quickly you shift, you know. Now they're like, well, they're going to go beat Ole Miss. Maybe they will, but it's just how one game just can change. The public is going to be all over North Carolina now, whether it's betting or their brackets against Ole Miss. And maybe they'll win. But that if I'm Ole Miss, I'm a little more concerned. Although maybe you're thinking, oh, they shot 70%. That's
good
not,
luck.
That's not happening.
And they had to play 2 days ago. We have had a week off. That's an advantage there. And I don't think first four teams should get the advantage of like rest or anything. You barely were in the tournament.
Up next, we'll take a look at Mahomes' contract and will he be willing to do something again? Plus the random question of the day right here on.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody and Gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Don't forget, go to 96.5thefan.com for the Fiery Hot Sevens contest where you can win a $30 instant scratch ticket and one person will win the grand prize, a Bobby Wood Jr. autographed jersey. It's all framed up as well, all thanks to our friends at the Kansas Lottery.
Nice and easy. I mean, who doesn't want a framed Bobby Wood Jr. jersey? Also, framing is way more expensive than people think. Gold, you got a couple of, don't you own a framed Nick Bolton jersey?
The only framed stuff I have, one is Nick Bolton, one's Pacheco. So I at least know my Bolton one.
Hey, Bolton one, you got the contract.
I'm going to get a lot of life out of that. Look, even if he would have left the team, he's still a two-time Super Bowl champion, so it's not like it. But yeah, I was happy about the extension for that reason as well. I feel like, okay, it's another current chief. It might be the last year of Pacheco, but those are the only two framed things that I have. So jersey frame is expensive, man.
Do you think the person who bought the Pasquassi jersey the very first year of Pasquantino and Massey is full-time big leaguers, do you think they still got it?
I think they have it. I don't know if they got it framed up, necessarily.
They should get it framed up and signed
I bet you they have it.
And signed by both players.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know if they got it framed. That'd be great. If you're listening and you got it framed, please let us know. We want a photo of
for
that.
For those who don't know, during the Cody and Gold garage sale, we had sold a jersey that was made for our producer who was pushing the nickname for Pasquantino and Michael Massey as Pasquassi. Mm-hmm. So there's a jersey out there somewhere. If you go to the K and you see a guy wearing it, I can't remember how he spelled it now. Pasquassey,
I think that's right.
When we made the jersey, it's out there, man. Pasquassi. It's out there in the wild. Pasquassi.
Yep.
What a name. Yeah, good times, man. I think Rally House made that for us, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they can make the jerseys on site right there.
Good people.
They can customize them right there on site. That's something that they have. Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes for a second, though, because you posed the question earlier. Hey, we all know the flexibility he's provided in his current contract. We all know the money that Josh Allen just got, and it's got some flexibility for the Buffalo Bills. And we look ahead eventually, whether it's after this season, before next year, we're very, very short time frame, year max from probably seeing a restructure or extension again from Mahomes. And you wondered, will it have the same flexibility?
Yeah, because obviously he did it the first time. So there's a reason to believe he would do it the second time. But, you know, you can sign that contract when you're in your mid-20s, Gold, sign for 10 years and be like, well, I'm also getting 10 years worth of security. It was crazy because all these quarterback contracts have been signed since then. No one has been willing to go the length of contract that the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes. And no quarterback has been willing to sign the length of contract that he was willing to sign. You can have Josh Allen's contract has flexibility. It does not have the flexibility of Patrick Mahomes' contract, because length alone is your ultimate weapon when it comes to that. Look, he just let him convert a bunch of money, but that's easy, right? Would I like my money today instead of tomorrow? Sure. That sounds great. Nobody's ever going to argue against that. I guess just when they rework his contract, and the original timeline they had given was at the end of the 2026 season. Is it going to be built the same way? 10 years, restructured, all this money, just make him the highest paid, but then also like have the ability to shovel this money around, because I think the best quarterbacks do show a little bit of flexibility in the way in which they're paid. Because every year, I think, presents different ways in which you have to build the roster. This year, they needed more money from him. Last year, they needed more money from him. Down the road, you hope that's not the case. But there's no reason to think it's not because of the winning, in my opinion.
Then I would be fairly stunned if the next extension doesn't offer the same flexibility. Patrick Mahomes has openly talked about he knows the history of the game. He knows his standing in the history of the game, his legacy, the impact that he's already had and where he wants to get to. And he recognizes that financially, the flexibility gives him a better chance and the team a better chance to do that. And so I would be stunned, especially in this next one. Now, we can talk way down the road in the one that's two after this, or the next one after this next extension, however far down the road you want to go, maybe a different answer at that point in time. But right now, yeah, I don't think that would be a question at all. Like I would be shocked.
Do you just try to lock him up for the rest of his career? Let's just say you're going to tear up the deal at the end of this thing. He's going into his age 31 season. You just give him a decade again, rip it up, call it 10 years, and then just ride out the rest of it. Because part of me thinks, don't even put yourself later in his career into the situation where you got to like wonder if he's under contract, could become a free agent, ends up a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Don't even ever put yourself in that position, because I think if the Patriots could go back and do that, they realize how stupid they looked.
Their difference is they chose the coach.
And
in this scenario, won't, because Andy, I don't know if it's 3 years from now, 5 years from now, Andy will not be there at the end of Mahomes' career. So maybe they'll be choosing between that coach. Who knows? Like, we can't predict the future.
The only other way this is be choosing between quarterback, which is what the Montana Steve Young situation being. And they didn't look stupid for that.
No, because they
won more Super Bowls with Steve Young. So they don't look dumb for making the decision they made versus the Patriots, right? But like, that's the only way in which Mahomes get run out of town.
Right now, the current deal, if they just didn't even touch it, which they will, he'd be 36 at the end of it. And there's void years at age 37. So this current one already, based on the extension they've given one other time, already puts him till 36. So if a year from now they do another extension, that one could push it, Cody, to 38, 39, 40 with a void year. I mean, we're not far off from it already getting to 38, 40 years old.
No, I mean, a couple of years extension. That's what I'm saying, like 10 total, right? Because I actually think the way the contract is structured, based on, I don't think you can actually pay him enough money to be paid the amount of money he should be paid, right? So based on the structure of the deal, I actually think you have to rip it up. I don't think you can get the average annual pay high enough based on what quarterbacks are being paid now, because he's all the way ready down to like 12th or 13th highest for average annual salary. Now, next, he is like the second biggest cap hit in the NFL. Yeah, so it's not like he's getting shortchanged.
$28 million cap hit this year after the conversion. Next year, $78 million, which is 25% of the team's cap. And then the year after, $74. That's why I think after this season, we likely would see some sort of, either you said you think it's a brand new contract. If not, there definitely have to be some structure change.
I guess the question is, like, if you sign a brand new deal and you rip it up, then you got to do the signing bonus thing all over again. You just gave him 30.
Yes, that's
how. And now you got to rip it up and give him what? I mean, what would he be worth guaranteed in a signing bonus? Like,
guarantee is different than signing bonus, right? So, I mean, it's not even just the guaranteed money. Now you have to put that in escrow, but the signing bonus would, I mean, on this deal, his signing, it's weird.
His signing guarantees were actually pretty low, considering.
The 10-year, $450 million deal that was huge at the time, 2020, that actually only had a $10 million signing bonus. It's the money you got to put in escrow, but the signing bonus itself was only $10 million.
Well, and the guarantees were lower than you would normally think for a quarterback. Wasn't it only like in the 200s? The guarantees were only in the 200s.
And then this year, we all know his base salary is technically only $1.2 million. The restructure bonus is $47.7 million. And then he gets like a workout bonus for one. And the cap hit we mentioned, the dead cap value, doesn't really matter in this scenario. But
who cares about really that? Yeah.
$94 million, but it's not.
Oh, no. You know what? If they decide to cut Patrick Mahomes,
$94 million, guys, is going to cost you a lot.
Real question. If Patrick Mahomes became a free agent today.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
So, like, we know the teams that would immediately try to sign him, right? The Steelers, the Giants.
All but three teams in the league.
I guess the question I have is, Would these other teams who like their quarterback be like, get the hell out of here?
Yes, all but like three teams.
Would Cincinnati's be like, Burrow?
No.
Get out of here.
They would be one of the three that would not.
Like, you
They'd be like one of the three or four that would not. But Buffalo wouldn't. Cincinnati wouldn't. Baltimore
would. The Broncos say, Bo Nix,
yes,
it's been a pleasure seeing you here.
Cody, honestly, I think legitimately.
The Houston Texans would say CJ Stroud.
I think it is just Lamar. So Buffalo with Josh Allen, Baltimore with Lamar, Burrow and Cincy. And I think because of the ring now, maybe Hurts and Philly, even though that's crazy. But I think
Jaden Daniels in Washington.
Yes. Yes. It's Patrick Mahomes.
He hasn't won anything yet. He hasn't done anything
yet. It's Patrick Mahomes.
Anyway, it's always a fun conversation.
I'm just curious.
Cody is right, though. I mean, there's some things that can be really your ultimate weapon.
Length alone is your ultimate weapon.
It can be. It can be. Let's get to it.
Random question.
The random question of the day brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week and then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, we always try to interact. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. I get on the Twitch and the YouTube chats a lot, so I will attempt to interact with you there as well. Easy one today. Obviously, with the Masters around the corner, we know how this works. The Masters Dinner comes out for the selection. Scotty Scheffler's Master Dinner is out there. Appetizers of firecracker shrimp and cheeseburger sliders.
Okay.
Meatball and ravioli bites to go with that. The first course.
This is dad's recipe, the meatballs, I guess.
Papa chef's.
Mm-hmm.
First course is Texas style chili. That's a terrible
first course.
Heavy first course.
All right.
That's an offensive first course.
All right.
You can't be feeding me cheeseburgers and firecracker shrimp and then eat some chili.
He's from Texas. These menus always have a bunch of courses to it.
The main course is a wood-fired cowboy ribeye or blackened redfish. Dessert is a warm chocolate chip skillet cookie with vanilla bean ice cream, served in the honor of Mr. Scotty Scheffler.
A little underwhelming.
I got to say, so first, two parts to the question. One, out of 10, how would you rank Scotty Scheffler's choice for the Masters Club dinner? Second, don't give me a first course, too. Just give me an app, a main course, and a dessert you want for your Masters dinner.
Yeah, so I'd probably give his menu a 7 out of 10.
It's like a 5. This is mediocre.
Oh, wow. 5? I think 7 5. Is... Okay, wow, you think 5. It's a 5.
Cheeseburgers and firecracker shrimp? I feel like I'm at a TGI Fridays. This is the Masters dinner.
Yeah, I mean, they're not... Yeah, I'll go 7. As far as mine, look, I think you're supposed to have a theme that ties back to like where you're from. So the easy answer would be like burn-ins.
Okay.
But if I'm being selfish and I'm just like, what I know I'm going to enjoy, we're having a 12-ounce filet, okay? We're having a 12-ounce filet with a baked potato option available, baked potato bar.
You gotta offer a seafood dish, don't you? Like he offers the redfish?
I guess we can offer some salmon if that's what you want. So we'll have the salmon with the filet with a baked potato bar. The dessert is going to be a chocolate mousse cheesecake. I'm just picking stuff I like, man. That's it. It's just stuff I like. Okay. I won the Masters, darn it. Hey. I'm getting my menu. And the appetizer... A lot of different directions we can go here. A lot of different directions. If I'm not allowed to just do a simple like queso chips, queso and salsa type of bar, if we have to have more of a something heartier, then I would go with burn-ins for the appetizer, actually. You get burn-in appetizer. Thank you very much.
I went ahead Jake and over on Twitch says mozzarella sticks, hot dogs, and a bomb pop.
This is interesting. So Scotty also hosted in 2023.
Yeah, he's won the Masters a couple times.
Cheeseburger sliders,
he's pretty
firecracker
good.
Shrimp, yeah. Sweet Thai chili, main course is Texas ribeye or blackened redfish. It's almost the exact same menu.
That's what
menu.
He likes. My menu would be the same. If I won the Masters 5 times, the menu would always have a filet. It would at least have a filet every time.
This feels like the pre-course dinner for Valentine's Day at TGI Fridays. Like, we got it all sectioned out for you, Cody. You can have your warm chocolate chips.
You're having a cowboy ribeye. You're having a cowboy ribeye at TGI Fridays?
You know what I mean? You know, they probably got a ribeye there. I don't know if it's a cowboy ribeye.
Is there many of those still open, by the way?
Chips and queso is
TGI Fridays. Didn't they close down a lot of them? Are there still a few? When's the last time you went to TGI Fridays?
There might be a few left. I don't
really, really, really. Long time for the main course. I definitely think you have to do something in the beef or steak. I think I'll do short rib. Okay. It's something I really, really enjoy eating, and when done well, like you cook for 20 straight hours or whatever, it's phenomenal. I don't want to go through the work most of the time, right? I don't want to go through the work to make like slow, like short rib that's been cooked the way I feel like it should. And I think on the seafood end, I would scallops are my favorite seafood of all seafoods. Dessert's tougher because you need a crowd pleaser. Right, you got to think of something that like works for everyone. I'm guessing you would have said cheesecake. I know that's up there.
I said chocolate mousse, which is a chocolate mousse cheesecake. Mm. You know,
French silk pie maybe on the list. That's one of my all-time favorite desserts.
Mm-hmm.
some sort of like, yeah, chocolate chip cheesecake. That'd probably be on the list. It's got to be a crowd pleaser. That's a little bit of a challenge. What about you, Drew?
I think, so it's interesting. And looking at research, a lot of these players did salad to start off with as an app. I don't know if you, if salad
one
is,
of the appetizers.
Yeah, I mean, you get three appetizers. I think it's fair to offer a salad.
I think having
chili is
like some sort of Caesar salad is there. I do think for whatever reason, the pigs in a blanket. I know that sounds like not off script, but it's
all time appetizer.
I think it's an all time appetizer where it's just, it's one of those crowd pleasers. But you go for the, you know, for the main course, I'd have some sort of seafood, I think, would be the way that I go about it.
You gotta have a non-seafood option
salmon,
as well, though.
I mean, you throw a steak. I would say some sort of like a T-bone steak or a ribeye, okay. And then a salmon. And I love me some salmon. So salmon, I think, is there for sure.
Those cowboy ribeyes. It's no one can eat that.
You're thinking of the tomahawk.
No one can eat that.
Yeah, it's just it's presentation.
No one,
it's all that.
No one can eat a 70-ounce steak after their chili and firecracker shrimp appetizer. This menu has no cohesion. Is my complaint about it with Scheffler? It doesn't balance off each other. It's got no play. Like he should have like a green in there or something. You know. Mix it up.
They're at the Masters. There's plenty of green around Augusta.
I also love crab cakes. But I don't know that everyone wants a crab cake.
You know, you need some greens. I actually think that Cody's point is very, very much so fair.
I was only told I could pick one appetizer, though. I was told I only could pick one.
Look at this. Creme brulee with a cookie dough infused brownie. Is that a real thing you've had before?
Wow, that's specific.
That is so specific.
Sounds great. By the way,
somebody said calamari steaks, veal piccata. This is like somebody on the text line. There are a couple of real fancy, right? Mm-hmm.
Someone says four and a half out of 10 crab cakes, oysters, bone in ribeye, creme brulee.
Do you like creme brulee?
It's fine. It's not my, I will definitely, like if it's an option, if it's at a restaurant that gives me two or three options and
it's always the same. It's flourless chocolate. Let me just give you that. Flourless chocolate cake. Creme brulee, and then there's always
just a standard original cheesecake.
It's usually like a tart or a cheesecake. Yeah. Yes,
so I don't mind creme brulee. Not my favorite.
I'll be honest. So the fact that you gave Scotty a 5, I think you'd give John Rahm's from last year a 9.5 out of 10,
Let me hear Rahm's.
There are so many options.
Forgot he won the Masters 2 years ago.
So one of the early appetizers is a croqueta de pollo. It's a creamy chicken fritters, confit potatoes, Spanish omelet, onions.
Interesting.
Trying too hard. Trying too hard with this menu.
Trying too hard?
Yeah.
Spain.
I know. Yeah.
Mama Rahm's classic lentil stew. Those are appetizers.
Oh, lentil stew.
The first course is a Basque crab salad with a potato. Main course is a Basque ribeye, lettuce, and also some peppers on the side, or a turbo. Not sure. It sounds like a fish.
Yeah, it is.
And then some Navarro white asparagus. Your dessert is a puff pastry cake, custard, and chantilly cream.
Have you ever had, you know...
Look, if I can't even read through the Masters and pronounce everything, screw the menu. I mean, screw the Masters menu. If I can't even pronounce half the menu, I'm out.
I said scallops.
He also had an acorn-fed Iberian ham-cured pork loin as an appetizer.
It just
comes across with you and with the whole etouffee thing, Cody. It feels like you really would appreciate.
I like nice
John
food.
Rahm's
I don't
menu.
Think there's anything wrong with liking nice food. Sometimes it has fancy names attached to it. You know, I'd also consider sushi as an appetizer. I really
there
love
you
good
go.
Sushi.
There you go.
And I feel like that's a crowd pleaser. And then I get the get the fish in
Hideki
there as
Matsuyama
well.
Had sushi and then Wagyu.
Ooh, man,
as well.
See, look, come on, that's tough to beat.
Yeah,
that's way better than Scheffler's.
That's legit.
I get sushi and I get
somebody
Wagyu.
Said if on the text line if they win, everybody's just doing McDonald's. They're just doing that was the joke.
Yeah,
just
getting like a quarter pounder.
Can you
and some
imagine?
Just a bunch of Big Macs, quarter pounders, and fries sitting around.
You see Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player and everybody walking. You're like, all right, we have some quarter pounders over here for
just,
you guys.
We won't be able to read them all off because we can't just stay on the random question forever. But now that we're on this is what I want from the text line. 913-586-7965. I want you to tell me where the best appetizer is in this city. Whichever, because now I want to like go get a good appetizer at some point. We're talking about all this stuff. People were talking about crab cakes at a couple of different spots. Tell me where you think the best appetizer in this city is. That's what I'm interested in now from the text line. Can't read them all off, but I'll read them to myself and figure out where to go. What do you
get? I don't know if I have an answer for you on that.
I get appetizers very rarely.
Yeah, I don't know if I have an answer. The best appetizer in the city? I mean, the first one would be the same appetizer I mentioned for my menu. There's multiple barbecue restaurants where you can get the burn-ins as an appetizer. That's a hell of an appetizer.
Somebody mentioned you should have had the burnt-in fried rice as your...
Oh, the brisket fried rice?
The brisket fried rice.
But I wouldn't want that on my Master's menu, though.
You can just get that when you go to Circa.
Yeah, that's all. I can't. If we're back there in August, 8 East, get the secret right menu one where you get the brisket and the chicken fried rice.
This person's menu from the 816 for appetizer, Sloppy Joe sliders, side salad, crab cakes, then a Kansas City strip with baked potato or smoked salmon and a baked potato, and then your dessert is a banana split.
Yeah. I mean, it's
a pretty banging menu.
You know, the corn nuggets at Jefferson's, there's my answer.
That's way really up your good list. It is the lunch hour brought to you by Jefferson's. If you're looking for a place to watch the games this week, Jefferson's got you covered. But yeah, no, I mean, you love the corn nuggets. You do rave about
them. Those things are great.
I bet they're on your list.
Working some corn nuggets.
I bet they're on your list.
A lot of people giving you examples.
Okay, I'm going to read through them. Don't worry. I did see yesterday, which I do think was the right choice, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to give them half credit for doing the right thing, but also still cheaping out. EA Sports announced yesterday they will be increasing their NIL payments for college football game for players, right? We knew last year was $600. We all made fun of it because they were pretty much asking $600 for the deluxe edition of the game, so it didn't feel like nearly enough. And then we saw how many of that game they sold, and we thought, are you serious right now in this offer? They've increased it to $1,500. So kudos to them, first off, for increasing a payment from $600 to $1,500 the next year, plus a free copy of the game for those kids.
Well, thank goodness.
You should get that anyway. For what were insane sales. Based on the amount they sold last year, this is still offensively cheap. $1,500, that's it? That's all you got for these kids for being in this game?
They're getting paid for their likeness. The player doesn't actually have to go like run on a treadmill to get to make it in the game. They literally sign a sheet of paper. You can use my name. Here's my likeness. If I'm Arch Manning, then I can get paid more because I signed a special deal. Otherwise, third string quarterback at Appalachian State getting $1,500 just to have his name in a video game, I think is more than fair.
All right, so I went ahead and I did some math for you.
You counted up the number of players in college football?
So there are 136 teams in FBS this year. Let's say roughly there's 80 players on each team, which roster sizes, there's even more than that, but I said 80. That's 10,880 players. You multiply that by 1,500, that's $16,320,000 they're divvying out to the players individually. So I don't know what, again, the full figure is in terms of how much they actually make off the game, but I'd say that's a decent percentage.
What was the total number you said?
Of players?
Yeah. No, how much did the players earn in total at $600 or $1,500 apiece?
Oh, at $1,500? Yeah. $16,320,000.
They did. Okay, before you're like, that seems like a really healthy number. EA Sports College Football 25 last year did $500 million in sales in the first
sales are not revenue
week.
Sales is not profit. I'm sorry.
Week.
Sales is not
year.
Profit.
Though. But let's just call it half.
What Maybe. Number I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
They did $500 million in the first week in sales, Drew.
Yeah.
$16 million. I don't think that's not cutting it.
Spoiler, it wasn't going to be 50-50. You know what I mean? Like, I hear you. I'm glad they're getting a bump. But I also think, I'll use the example again, the third string player at any school, Appalachian State, I'll use again, for just having his name in the video game, getting $1,500 as a college kid is not a raw deal.
And again,
I'm the star player, that's why they've negotiated separate deals with Manning and these other guys. I get it. If I'm the face of college football this coming season, I get why I would want more. But there's also a bunch of dudes that are just lucky. They're like, it's amazing that their name's in a video game. $1,500. They're not going to even play for their team that year. Mischaracter of justice or something.
It's $1,500 for their name, their number, and the city that they grew up in. That's it. You literally have to submit that. There's
I know,
nothing
but like, they can't make the money on the game unless I exist.
There's no leverage.
I think there's added value and way added value in doing it. I think part of the reason they decided to bring it back is because name, image, and likeness. Part of the reason they stopped making the game is because they couldn't.
Correct.
You know? So they need the players in order to make it.
No, the players on the game make it way, way better. I'm just saying that, like, I don't think it's like, oh my gosh, they're just screwing over every single player in college football by only giving them $1,500 to just have their name in a video game with no other work allowed. You know, I do think the star players should be negotiating a better deal, but of course EA is getting 80% of the profits. That's just, unfortunately, that's just how this stuff works. Like, That's just sports is operating a business. Of course,
more, they're yes,
like you work for a company unless you own it. Spoiler: they don't pay you exactly what they have for the pro. Like spoiler, you and I are not getting half and 50-50 profits from a company we work at.
Players,
that's just not how it works.
Yeah, but it's a different job, which we've talked about before. Being a college athlete,
but the college athlete's not working in the video game. Like I'm saying, like they're literally just using their likeness and they're getting compensated for their likeness. They're not like working and developing the video game with them and not getting paid.
No, and I'm not saying like, but it might be like I would like that it to know that it's 50-50 between every other employee or every other person in there.
I mean, in
not
a perfect
just the
world,
college.
Sure.
I don't think they get 50-50. No,
but a perfect world, of course. Right, but come on, that though. Like, yes,
they should collectively bargain. More
the direct,
than
well, sure, that's a whole different conversation. Yes, but like if we were talking about like the EA Sports employees, like the director of the video game and the assistant not making the same amount of money. I mean, that's just I call that life.
No, I'm just saying, but there's less of them on top versus the grunt workers that exist outside.
Sure,
of it.
Yeah,
I just don't think you're getting a raw deal.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to the 1 o'clock hour, shall we? Let's talk more about what's happening with the Minnesota Vikings and perhaps how they feel about their franchise quarterback now that they're passing on Aaron Rodgers for the time being. That's coming up next here on Cody and Gold.